Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 23rd of May. I'm Paul White. Hey, I told you yesterday that on Friday we'll do Long Form Friday, and I got a little special surprise. That little special surprise is a sit-down conversation that I had with two very dear friends of mine, Ob and Amber Brown. They are a singer-songwriter duo, husband and wife musical team that are in the process of writing a praise and worship album, their own praise and worship album, that I think, I highly anticipate, will be a wave of grace worship music that will be impactful for those looking for such a thing. And I know for a fact there are a lot of people looking for such a thing. I hear it all of the time on my ministry travels. Where can we find more grace-based music? And I will say that I think the industry is shifting and there are more and more grace-based worship songs. But we go into a deep conversation about music and worship in the church and what songwriting looks like and what it looked like for them. And then we play a completed track off of their upcoming album. We are sort of a big debut for it, and it'll be happening tomorrow on Long Form Friday. You've been hearing about it if you follow us on Facebook, because I've been posting that this event is coming. So check it out tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Ruth chapter 3. Let me read several verses today to get us into the heartbeat of this story. We're starting at the top of the chapter. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" That word security there is a little better translated as rest. My daughter-in-law, my daughter, notice she doesn't call her daughter-in-law. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? This is a statement, again, in regards to the levirate marriage, because it is an obligation of the family of Elimelech to provide a spouse for Ruth. But Naomi told her up front, way back in chapter 1, that's not going to happen. I'm too old to have children, and you won't be able to wait around. And so that tells us that Ruth is at the end of her childbearing years at this point. She's not going to be able to wait around if Naomi could even have a child, which is impossible at Naomi's age, unless there's some sort of Sarah-like miracle, and there's no indication of that in the text. So when she says, "Should I provide rest for you?" it's, I'm finding a way to get you into a place of levirate marriage rest. And I think it's this guy, Boaz. Verse 2, "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Now, this is a very interesting practice. We don't get a lot of scriptural evidence as to what this looked like or why. In fact, this is one of our only spots in the Old Testament that we see the woman initiating the demands for the levirate marriage. Outside of that famous Judah and Tamar moment, which we went into detail when we talked about the five women of grace from the genealogy of Jesus. Remember, Tamar is supposed to, she marries one of Judah's sons, he dies. She marries the other one, he dies. And she's waiting around on the third son, and Judah's dragging his feet. And the third son gets old enough, and Judah doesn't give him to her. And so she dresses as a prostitute, ends up getting pregnant by Judah. I'm just recapping the story we went over when we talked about that from the genealogy of Jesus. And you know the story. She fights for her own redemption, and it worked. It was shady at best. It's pre-law. God had not yet put the levirate marriage into law, and he does. And in Deuteronomy, somewhere around 25, God begins to lay out the rules for levirate marriage, and this is where the widow has the rights to bring a child into the world underneath the name of her dead spouse. But we don't get the initiation ceremony. We don't see it. And I think it's It's probably unwise to think that there's anything inappropriate in this ceremony in chapter 3, though let's be honest, there is a hint that she is laying at the feet of Boaz, giving herself to him physically, because that statement of he'll tell you what you should do, and she says, everything he says I will do, there's at least a hint that she goes in while he's asleep and lays at his feet as a way of saying, if you want to redeem me, if you want me to be your spouse, here I am. And there is a hint there that what might that entail. But I think to start to go into that deeper is unnecessary, because the story doesn't go into that direction, and I don't think we're wise to take a direction that stories may go into, especially if going down that road doesn't do anything to further the story. Boaz is not the nearest kinsman. There is a kinsman nearer than him, and that we're going to find. So let's read on. She went down to the threshing floor, did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her, and after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative." And she literally says in the Hebrew, "Spread the corner of your garment over me. You're my nearest redeemer." So this is a redemption moment. I don't think there's a reason for it to be sordid. It's a redemption moment, and she's requesting the rights of redemption. "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter," he says in verse 10, "for you've shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman. Now, it's true that I'm a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I." Now, there's a lot of things happening, and I want to get into them, but I want to treat them fair and give them their own podcast. And so we'll do the long form Friday tomorrow, and then on Saturday, we'll start to work through these statements, beginning in verse 10, you've shown more kindness at the end than the beginning. Verse 11, the town knows you're a virtuous woman. Verse 12, there's a closer relative than I. All of those things deserve, I don't know if they'll get their own podcast, but at least a podcast to talk about the conversation from the point of view of Boaz. And we'll do that in a couple of days. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.